Hi there. If your sensitive kid is struggling with test anxiety, then today's show is for you. Hello, and welcome to How to Parent Your Highly Sensitive Child Like a Ninja. I'm your host, Megan Thompson, licensed clinical professional counselor and registered play therapist supervisor. We at MTC teach parents how to eliminate the daily meltdown and shutdown cycle for your sensitive children and teens. Highly sensitive children make up 15 to 20% of the population, according to research that has been gathered for over a century. And this podcast answers one question: how can you raise emotionally intelligent children, stop walking on eggshells, and help your child express their needs safely without punishments, yelling, or coddling? If you want to know the answer, you're in the right place. So if you have a child who experiences big, deep emotions, notices small details about the world, might even be intellectually or emotionally gifted or both, then we're going to cover where your child could be stuck in dealing with test anxiety. Now, one thing that is important as a parent in noticing your child struggle with this is that obviously this impacts you, right? Your emotions could be focused on wanting to have your child succeed. You could be really struggling with how to help your child feel like they can be resilient, that they can creatively solve their problems in the moment. Your child might be refusing to go to school. They might be having meltdowns after school, especially during the standardized testing week or right leading up to it. And you may be worried about whether or not your child is going to make it to school tomorrow. And if this is a challenge that you're experiencing, I'm sure you've tried many things, right? Telling your child that it's going to be okay, that the tests only matter for the teachers, that they're only part of grading teachers' capacity rather than kids. You might have even commiserated with your child in this dynamic and really tried to shift their perspective or their focus off of themselves and onto the absurdity of standardized testing. I'm sure you've had lots of conversations with your child. And if you are struggling to help your child feel better, I have a focus that I want to pay attention to today. And the key piece to being able to break out of this pattern requires you to actually stop making your kid feel better. If your goal, when your child expresses a negative emotion like fear or worry or overwhelm or frustration or sadness, is to make your child stop feeling that feeling and feel happy or optimism or collaboration, you know, creativity, curiosity, any sort of action or emotion associated with a more positive experience, then you will continue to stay stuck. A child who is struggling with intense emotions and doesn't have any emotion regulation skills, they can really have a difficult time in managing a perception of capability. Right? They can really struggle. Your child is likely really struggling with a sense of capability, capacity for change, which is a key indicator that your child has low self-esteem. And when children have low self-esteem, they don't believe that they can do it. They don't believe that they can communicate well enough to get their needs met. They don't believe that they can accomplish the goal that they want to achieve. And instead, what they might be saying is, I'm a bad kid, or I'm stupid, or I'm not smart enough, or I never get it right, or I'm going to let my teacher down, right? Any sort of self-statements that are negative. And when parents reassure, if you're telling your child it's going to be okay, it doesn't matter anyways, do the best you can, that's all we're asking for, and this is your immediate rebuttal, then your child is actually moving away from learning how to trust and struggle in this challenge. And so I want to invite you to really practice how to validate and understand more about the concept of teaching your child about their own emotions, allowing them to feel their feelings. And this requires you as a parent to tolerate that discomfort first. We teach parents to break out of this pattern. One of the things that we talk about is the fear and discomfort and sadness and anxiety of feeling like your child is struggling and you can't help them, right? There might be a trapped emotion or guilt or worry, all wrapped up in your own emotional experience when your child is struggling. And when you learn how to break out of that emotional intensity yourself, then it is much more calming for you to watch your child struggle. And it's a lot easier to watch your child struggle because sensitive kids need to learn to build resilience skills. They have to demonstrate the capacity to tolerate discomfort and fail. And without that capacity, sensitive kids will really continue to foster low self-esteem. They will continue to have a low self-concept. So low self-concept is a perception that one cannot do whatever it is one sets one's mind to. That sounded like a Dr. Seuss sentence. But your child won't feel like they'll be able to achieve their goals, right? And then low self-esteem is a lack of capacity, right? So when we're thinking about these challenges that your kiddo is having, it is really important that you stay out of their way. And I'm saying this because I'm sure that your intentions are pure. They are to help your child feel better, to help your child grow faster and learn faster and all of that. And one of the examples that I use often with my clients is that when your child was learning how to walk, you did not pick your child up and hold them while they walked when they were at walking age, right? So if you didn't follow, the RIE method or anything like that, when your child was learning to walk, you might have held their hands up with you and kind of allowed them to toddle along with you with their arms outstretched above their head and allowed their feet to pitter patter alongside you, right? What I'm talking about is when your child was at walking stage and they were moving in that direction and they'd already maybe taken a step or two and you've seen them succeed in this, you didn't pick them up and force them to walk, right? You instead waited patiently and with hope and optimism and expectation. This is an emotional state that you had as a parent. And when your child is dealing with these meltdowns over and over and over again, over time, it starts to cut at your self-esteem, starts to chop down your capacity for believing that your child is capable of changing and demonstrating resilience. And when you address that first, and then throughout the period of time where you're working on changing your child's behavior by influencing them and shifting into a more leadership role, then your child is much more capable of solving these problems faster, tolerating overwhelm, tolerating frustration, tolerating worry, and not allowing that emotion to take control of their behavior. And as children, that is a emotional decision. It is a subconscious and oftentimes unconscious decision, but settled children don't lose their crap. So what we're talking about is noticing how are you supposed to help your child settle down, right? And settle in when they're feeling unsettled. How do they decrease the intensity of that emotion and tolerate staying in the moment and solve the problem so that they don't carry it with them all day and unload at home? The first piece for you is to reconnect with that capacity yourself. The second piece is to be able to support your child without reassuring them. Allow them to experience their fear. Allow them to experience worry, right? And we don't stop there. There will need to be a time for clear and consistent limits so that you are taking your child to school if they are feeling like they are refusing and they need to refuse. And that part of the job is not effective or even available for your child to learn from if you have not yet set the emotional tone for confidence, capability, and resiliency. Your child will maintain a pattern of low impulse control and reactivity if your dynamic in the household is one of reactivity. You know what? I know you're anxious. We still need to go. We're going. Any of that language, you might have just validated your kid, but that was forceful, right? As an example. So I want us to pay attention to how you're delivering your validation, what your skill set is in being able to tolerate your child's discomfort so that you can teach your child how to more capably and sustainably manage their own emotions and creatively solve their problems on their own. Isn't that what we all want? So if you're struggling with reaching this objective and you want more support for us with us, then I certainly encourage you to go ahead to our masterclass. Go to meganthompsoncoaching.com/5steps. And on that masterclass, we will teach you exactly what is necessary for your child to break out of the meltdown cycle, for the entire family to break out of this cycle, and for you to clearly and truly feel much more empowered at home, just like you used to. All right. And we look forward to hearing what you have to say about that training, and good luck learning more. Talk soon. Thanks for joining me for this episode of How to Parent Your Highly Sensitive Child Like a Ninja. We release a brand new episode every week, so be sure to click subscribe. If you like what you've heard and you're interested in hearing more about how to eliminate the meltdown cycle, I invite you to check out our free masterclass where we cover the 5 steps our clients use to eliminate the daily meltdowns. You can register for the next training at meganthompsoncoaching.com/5steps. That's the number 5, STEPS. meganthompsoncoaching.com/5steps. Have a great day.